After you're done listening to today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, make sure you check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. They give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the league. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am James Yarko, joined as always by Dave Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucksNation.com and WTSP.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at Jarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. If you're new to the show, please subscribe, leave a five-star review. We really appreciate it, and it does help other Buccaneers fans find us.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. Hopefully you guys all had a pleasant and safe Memorial Day weekend. James, happy to be back with you. Obviously yours was safe, or else you wouldn't be here to talk with me today. But we're going to talk about some things that are going on this week. We're going to talk about a little bit of insight that you sent out over the weekend, including your take on Buccaneers tight end O.J. Howard, what the Buccaneers need from him moving forward into the 2021 season. That, of course, went up on WTSP.com on Monday. So for those who were too busy spending time with family, just enjoying the weekend, maybe getting some sun, recap to them real quick a little bit of what you wrote about O.J. and his role with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2021.
Yeah, it's a little bit of what we've already talked about on this show, about how O.J. Howard seems to be the forgotten guy, the overlooked guy. We talk so much, and you and I are guilty of it as well. We talk so much about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, you know, all the great running backs, you know, the addition of Gio, you got Fournette, you got Rojo, and we keep failing to mention O.J. Howard. So what I wrote up was kind of how this year, 2021, is it's a two-way street here of what the Buccaneers need from O.J. Howard and what O.J. Howard needs from himself. And the biggest thing was he has the opportunity here in a contract year to continue to ball out. He looked really good early in the season last year, but he only played four games. And you take a look at it, he played 14 games as a rookie, 14 games in his junior year, we'll call it. But in 2018, his sophomore season, only played in 10 games. Last year, only played in four. So O.J. Howard really needs to put together a full, healthy season where he is helping this team contribute. And in doing so, he will make the Buccaneers offense that much better, that much more dangerous, and he's going to set himself up for an offseason where he's going to be a free agent. He has to prove that he's a player that the Buccaneers have to bring back, or he is going to get himself some big-time money on another team.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it in your column that you wrote again for WTSP 10 Tampa Bay that even though he missed a lot of time in those four games that he played, when he went out with that injury, he was leading all tight ends in the league in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So that's a pretty significant accomplishment for O.J. Howard coming out of the first quarter of the NFL season, given the rise in the popularity in receiving tight ends in today's National Football League. Now, Rob Gronkowski did eventually get his football legs back under him, obviously became a focal point in the offense, and then down the stretch in the playoffs, Cameron Brate obviously came in, played a really pivotal role into getting the team not only to the Super Bowl, but getting them a Super Bowl win. So what do you think the best way, like if you had to speak to Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians and say, here's the best way to use these three tight ends? Because the problem with O.J. Howard, like I think traditional or conventional wisdom would say, you know, you have a guy who has a little bit of an injury history and kind of a quote-unquote injury problem. Maybe he's a little injury prone. So maybe work him out, maybe mix him in, you know what I mean? Maybe rotate him to keep him fresh, to keep his muscles from getting too worn out. But the problem with OJ is none of his injuries are really injuries you can point to as saying they're fatigue caused, right? Like you go back to Richard Sherman, and when he, I think he ruptured his Achilles, he had said that he kind of feel it coming because he had been playing so much because, of course, they played on Sunday and then they played again Thursday, and that Thursday night game is when he actually got injured. that basically his body wasn't having the time it needed to recover and recuperate and all that stuff. But OJ's are really a lot of fluke injuries that kind of come from missteps, or they just kind of come from the nature of the game, and they're less fatigue related. So how would you want to incorporate the entire thing? Because I think you have to take a little bit of consideration in, if you're the Buccaneers, of the fact that you could be without this player at a moment's notice. And so how do you balance the play time, the snaps, the reps, and the focus in the game plan, knowing that that's a possibility?
Well, I think the thing with OJ Howard that makes him so special and so unique is something that requires him to be on the field so often, and that's his ability to block, in addition to his athleticism and his freakish abilities as a pass catcher. So what I think they need to do with OJ Howard is almost play a rope-a-dope kind of game where you can have OJ Howard sit in and block on a couple of passing downs, and you can see the ball go to Gronk or go to Godwin or whoever. And you have to kind of sucker the linebacker in. Whoever's in charge of coverage has to respect the fact that OJ can stay in and block. You can't do that with Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate is not a good blocking tight end. He's a great pass catcher. We love Cameron Brate, but he's not the blocker that OJ is. So when the linebacker's having to respect that, all of a sudden you can play that rope-a-dope game where OJ looks like he's going to come back and block, and then he leaks out over the seam, and all of a sudden you have yourself a 45-yard gain on a 15-yard pass because nobody's there to cover OJ Howard. So I'm not sure what the Bucs can do to help kind of balance the injury problems that he's had. Like you said, they're not continuing issues. These aren't like with Gerald McCoy, he had the biceps issues on both arms. These are kind of freakish injuries that OJ has suffered through. So I'm not sure what he needs to do, but OJ himself added into the mix makes this offense so much better and so much more versatile that they can be so much better than they were even in 2020. Something else that is super versatile and can really help you out are our friends over at rockauto.com, because with the ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders parts on his computer, choosing only the brands that his warehouse just so happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. The prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as well as the do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
And after you save all that money with RockAuto.com, you can take that windfall and head over to betonline.ag and try to turn that money into even more money with the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Basketball and hockey playoffs are going on right now. Before the next tip-off, before the next puck drop, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Head over to the website again using your laptop or mobile device. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Segment 2 here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, our first episode coming out of the Memorial Day weekend. And James, just a reminder to all of our listeners, we are going to 3 days per week for right now, probably for a month, maybe a month and some change, during kind of what's called the quote-unquote dead period. Of course, if there's a whole lot of news dropping on a day we're not supposed to have an episode, we will come together, do kind of a bonus episode, and talk about that. So we're not going to leave you completely, you know, out to dry by any means. Still 3 days a week minimum here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, and even more if we have more topics to discuss. And speaking of topics to discuss, James, we've got rankings that have been going on all offseason, and then we've got situations coming up where the Buccaneers are going to come into this game, or this season rather, the defending Super Bowl champions. And we kind of go back to that OJ Howard conversation and the potential that he has by adding to this offense and making them even better like you kind of put it, as scary as that might be for the rest of the National Football League, and also kind of for your fantasy team, because you have no idea where those fantasy points are going to go, even though there's a lot of them, other than maybe Tom Brady. So how are the Buccaneers going to come in to this offseason, or to this regular season? And we've got another part of that conversation coming up in segment three, which has an interesting take to it. But here in segment two, I kind of wanted to talk about the contrast between this team and the last team in the National Football League to return all of their Super Bowl starters. And that, of course, was the 1976 Oakland Raiders, who in 1977 brought back all of their starters. They did end up going back to the AFC Championship game that year. They lost in the AFC Championship game to the Denver Broncos, so they did not repeat as Super Bowl champions, but they made it back. But here's the interesting thing about it, James. I did a little bit of homework. The Oakland Raiders, of the year they won the Super Bowl, had the fourth-ranked offense in the National Football League and the 12th-ranked defense, which at the time was right around middle of the pack, right? And the year they made it back to the AFC Championship game but didn't make it to the Super Bowl, they had the number one-ranked offense. So the offense got better, which is kind of what we're talking about here with the return of O.J. Howard, right? But the defense got worse, and they got worse by two spots. That's it, just two spots, from 12 to 14, again, in a 28-team league, right there in the middle of the pack, and they missed the Super Bowl. So I'd say defense wins championships, right? So that's kind of an important piece, I think, that led me to our question that we're going to talk about here in segment two, and that is, is the Buccaneers defense, specifically the secondary, going to be able to come in and play with the same intensity, the same fire, and kind of build on the momentum they have now that they're not being doubted? So you go back to last offseason, 32nd ranked secondary, right? And all year long, especially Carlton Davis on Twitter, that was a rallying cry. We're the 32nd ranked secondary, 32nd ranked secondary, et cetera, et cetera, all season long into the postseason. Didn't let anybody forget it. Well, now, right, and even now, going back to January of 2021, heading into the playoffs, PFF ranked the Buccaneers defense 6th overall. Now, Sportsnet.com has this defense ranked number 1. CBS Sports ranked number 2. NBC Sports has the Bucs in total with number 2 in their power rankings. USA Today, number 1 in the power rankings. So nobody's sleeping on this unit anymore, including the secondary. How is the Buccaneers secondary, James, going to keep a chip on their shoulder, that chip that helped them be so successful against guys like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, when now nobody is sleeping on them? They're actually almost betting on them to do well.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go out there and call yourselves the grave diggers, you have to be able to maintain that level of play, even improve upon it, and live up to the hype that you have now created for yourself. Now, there's still plenty of hate headed towards Carlton Davis. Anytime Michael Thomas gets brought up on Twitter, go ahead and start checking the replies to a tweet. You will see Bucs fans talk about how he's overrated. Then you will have Saints fans, you know, clap back and talk about how Carlton Davis got lucky, Michael Thomas was injured, Breeze had a noodle arm, yada, yada, yada. There's still some doubt around the Buccaneers. There are people out there that say that the secondary isn't that good. They got away with penalties, you know, whatever the case may be. But at this point, you can't use the outside noise as motivation. You have to self-motivate. You have to set the bar within your own house. Much like when John Gruden came in coaching you know, the Buccaneers the first season, and he says, you know, all I hear is how great this defense is. That's all I ever hear about. If you're so great, then score. And he set a goal and said, I want this many touchdowns out of the defense. The secondary has to do that on their own. They have to make the marks. We need this many interceptions. We need this many forced fumbles. We need this many fumble recoveries. We need this many touchdowns, or we're frauds. And they have to live up to that on their own.
Yeah, and I like that you brought that up a little bit, because I think that you also have to get a little bit maniacal, right? And you think back to the Michael Jordans of the world, and even Tom Brady. We talked about this before with Tom and his bulletin board material, right? Michael Jordan, go back to the documentary. I can't remember the name of the player, but he essentially made up this story where this player had a really good game against him. It was talking trash about how he bested Michael Jordan just to get himself psyched up to destroy the dude and basically end his NBA career before it ever really got started. And you come to find out it was total fiction. It never happened. So, like, if you're Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, and all these guys, and nobody's ranking you 32nd now, nobody's telling you out that you're the weakness on the team and everything else, when Dak Prescott comes out and you know, does his pregame press conference, like, you know, the Monday or so before, you know, the opening game, he's like, oh, you know, definitely, you know, getting ready for, you know, Shaquille Barrett, getting ready for Vita Vey and Dominican Sue, because we know that that blitz in that front seven is going to be really serious. You got to sit there and go, you didn't mention us. Oh, so you're sleeping on us. Like, you got to turn that into an insult, even though it's really not. You have to now turn that into an insult. So I like that you brought that up, because I think that's where we need to see the secondary get, because not saying that they're going to rest on their laurels by any means. I think we all know that they're not those types of guys, but it's just, it's a little harder to get that juice flowing when you don't have that hate. I kind of look at them like Eminem. Like, Eminem without beef is okay, but Eminem with beef, like Ask Machine Gun Kelly, right? Eminem with beef is next level, and that's where the Buccaneers secondary has to go. They've got to make that beef come out now, since it's really not coming from the outside.
I mean, I'd go even further than Machine Gun Kelly. Ask Ja Rule. Ask Ja Rule how it is having beef with Eminem.
Please, if you're under the age of 22, you don't even know who Ja Rule is, so you can't even ask him because of what Eminem did to him.
Unless you watch that that documentary about the Fire Festival, he was involved in that, and whew, that went about as well as his beef with Eminem. Yeah. All right, David, real quick, let's go ahead and talk about the five toughest matchups for this Buccaneers secondary. And we're talking about the team, not specific players. We could point out specific players all day long. We're talking about the collective of a team. So do you want to go back and forth on this, or do you want me to rattle off five and you rattle off five? How do you want to go?
You know what? You give your five, and then I will give my five, see where we match up and see where we differ.
Okay. I actually have six, because one of mine comes with an asterisk. And mine are in no particular order, but I'll run down the list real quick. I got the Buffalo Bills, Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. You know, that's a dangerous team up there, especially with the quarterback. I have the New England Patriots. I'm not sold on their quarterback situation, but you still have N'Keal Harry, and you have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, and you got Nelson Agholor there now. You still got White and Sony Michel coming out of the backfield. I have the Los Angeles Rams. What a slate of weapons. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Cam Akers out of the backfield. You got Atwell, you got Tyler Higbee, you got DeSean Jackson there now. I'm still going to go ahead and give the nod to the Saints. We know who the Saints have. My last one that comes with an asterisk is the Atlanta Falcons. They added Kyle Pitts. They still have Hurst. We know how you know teams like to use two tight end sets. You got Ridley, you got Julio. But if Julio's gone, one of the teams that I think he could end up with, and I will swap them out here, the Indianapolis Colts. You add Julio to T.Y., Pittman Jr., Mo Alley Cox. That's a dangerous offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a solid list. I have the Rams on mine as well. I did not have the Saints on there. And honestly, until they figure out their own quarterback situation, you can't have a passing attack if you don't have a quarterback. So until they figure out their own quarterback situation, I'm not even talking about that. Michael Thomas by himself, and this isn't necessarily even shade against him. He can't do it by himself, period. Like, he needs somebody to throw him the ball, and they don't even know who that is yet. I do have, like I said, I have the Rams on there. I do have the Cowboys on there just because I think Dak Prescott's coming to the season. Yes, he got paid, and a lot of people think that that's kind of the vindication for him, but I don't think so. I think he still hears the doubt out there in the public, so I think he wants to kind of prove to everybody that he can be that guy, and he's got the weapons to do it if he can take advantage of them. Washington football team. I know a lot of people talk about them last year kind of backing into the playoffs, but listen, this fan base has seen Ryan Fitzpatrick. They've seen what he can do, and he's got weapons. He's got guys that can stretch the field, guys that can play the short area of the field. So he's got a lot of versatility in his offense to take advantage of. I also have the Bills. And then I have two teams tying for my fifth spot, and that's the Falcons, but also the Bears, because and I understand that Ohio State hasn't had the greatest, you know, luck or fortune, whatever you call it, with producing NFL caliber quarterbacks. But if Justin Fields can come in and basically just not make really bad mistakes the way that Mitchell Trubisky did, he's got a really good offense to quarterback there. And so all he really needs to come do is not try to be the hero. Allow, you know, you're a chef, right? So he doesn't need to be the steak. He doesn't need to be the star of the show. He needs to be kind of the side dish as a rookie and maybe build into becoming the primary feature of that. But he's got enough weapons there. Just take what the defense is going to give you. If it's short, take it short. If you have single coverage, you know, deep, go ahead and throw it deep. Just make sure you throw it over them so that if your guy can't get it, nobody gets it. If he does those things, then the Bears offense has potential to be significantly improved from last season.
I will say this real quick. If Julio gets traded out of Atlanta and doesn't end up on the Colts, I think Washington football team's weapons are better than Indianapolis's as they are right now today. So
yeah. Plus Ryan Fitzpatrick is much better than Carson Wentz.
So. We'll see. We'll see. I think the jury's still out, but something that the jury is not out on, verdict is already back. Slam dunk. That's our friends over at Built Bar, because when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they are passionate about their favorites. You know the flavors: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all those flavors, you can get a mix box and you will receive two of each, so you can choose your own favorite. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Head over to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will receive 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at builtbar.com. Things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, David Harrison. You can find us on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, @DHarrison82. And David, we have a voicemail. Let's go ahead and get to the voicemail line.
David, James, it's Greco. What's going on, fellas? So recently, Patrick Mahomes expressed a desire to go 20-0. Now, all Bucks fans knows, and pretty much the whole world knows, that's something Tom Brady wanted to do, was to have that perfect season under his belt. So let's put together a scenario here. Let's just say 19-0 Chiefs, 19-0 Bucks, going to the Super Bowl. Three questions. One, would that be the greatest Super Bowl ever? I think it would, no doubt about that. Two, what would that do for the legacy of Tom Brady compared to the other top athletes in the world? And three, what does that say about Tampa, the city? Have we finally rid that stench of being the losers that we have been for so long? I know the Super Bowl helped. It really put us back on the map. But there's still a little bit of the hesitancy when they talk about Tampa, especially the Bucks, in the media. So I just want to know the answer to those three things. Thanks, fellas. Talk to you later. Peace.
Greco, thank you very much for the call. It's much appreciated. Yeah, if you have two 19-0 teams facing off in the Super Bowl, it is unquestionably the greatest Super Bowl of all time, regardless of the score at the end. It could be a blowout like it was in Super Bowl 55. Doesn't matter. You have two undefeated teams. That is already the greatest Super Bowl of all time. Tom Brady, if he goes 20-0, his legacy, I don't think it really changes all that much. He's already cemented as the greatest to ever do it in this game as far as the quarterback position. I don't know what else he could do to really even make it that – it would be a situation where if the Bucks went 20-0, it would be like, well, of course they did. It's Tom Brady. And the stench of finally losing, I don't know. Ask me again 5 years after Tom Brady leaves, and we'll revisit this.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's not Tampa that's winning. It's Tom Brady that's winning. It's what Tampa does as a franchise, as an organization after Tom Brady, that's going to determine whether or not they become one of those, you know, franchises that's not synonymous with losing and more synonymous with winning. So that's going to be a post-Brady era, if you want to call it that, conversation to have. As far as the Chiefs and Bucks Super Bowl at 19-0 apiece, I mean, if that were to happen, it would be amazing. Don't be wrong. It would be the best Super Bowl buildup, I think, ever in history. But I don't know if it would be the best game, because I still don't think the Chiefs have done enough on defense to really compete. You know what I mean? And that's not, you know, that's compete in the Super Bowl. Like, you're already in the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying they're not a good team. So don't get what I'm saying twisted. I'm just saying that when it comes down to it, you've got two strong offenses, one strong defense. Well, which team do you expect to win? Now, it would be an amazing upset, I think, if the Chiefs' defense was able to hold the Buccaneers' offense. But again, remember, they put up 31 points, and they really weren't even trying for the last, you know, third of the game. So, I mean, it's kind of I know a lot of people put a lot of weight on that Chiefs' offensive line, but there were some other things happening in that game as well. And then Tom Brady's legacy, I think, is the best in the NFL, is already cemented, like you said. But I think if Tom Brady were to go 20-0, that makes him the best in all sports. Like, you know, not, you know, if you put Tom Brady on the court, is he going to beat MJ? But I'm just saying, as far as, you know, putting him side by side with other athletes and other professions, I think it makes him the GOAT of all GOATs. But James, before we get out of here, thanks again for that question, Greco. We got to recap real quick Tuesday's OTA events, and especially some comments from head coach Bruce Arians, who was talking about the guys who were on the field and how well they were doing and how they were, quote unquote, working their ass off, right? but also talking about how there are about 10 or more or 10 or so guys who should be there at OTAs fighting for roster spots, and they don't maybe appear to know that they're fighting for roster spots. Talk about a lack of self-awareness. Greg Allman of The Athletic, of course, on Twitter also elaborated, saying that his tweet saying, quote, Bucks running back Keyshawn Vaughn was at the first OTA workout last week but wasn't there today, opting to work out with Tom Brady's group. Arians said he hopes he can make a better decision Wednesday, end quote. So while there's 10 or so players that should be there, Bruce Arians specifically mentioning young Keyshawn Vaughn. And Keyshawn, you don't have the excuse of working out with Tom Brady because veteran running back, read old guy, Giovanni Bernard worked out with Tom Brady and you, but was also at the OTAs. In fact, Giovanni Bernard, only running back at OTAs. Troymaine Pope, James. Troymaine Pope, who out of six running backs is seventh on the depth chart right now, not at voluntary OTAs. CJ Procise, excuse for birth of a child, so yeah, we'll give that to him. But yeah, man, what do you think about the missing players, especially the calling out of Keyshawn Vaughn, and do you expect Keyshawn Vaughn at OTAs on Wednesday as our listeners are listening to this episode?
I would be stunned if he's not there because dude just got called out. Bruce Arians is talking about, you know, there are guys not here competing for roster spots that they don't realize they're competing for. And then he specifically calls out Keyshawn Vaughn. Like Tyler Johnson was brought up too, but Bruce Arians said, you know, Tyler Johnson is working out with Tom. He knows Tom's the one throwing him the ball. He's not a dumbass. So yeah, Keyshawn, we've already said it. He's on thin ice as it is. He may not make this team. And you're not showing up to OTAs, you better get your head right. You better get your head right or you are going to be out on the street. You know, and one other thing that we've speculated about is Griffin's practice squad eligibility. So, you know, Greg Allman sent out a tweet that said, Bucks Ryan Griffin on the prospect of staying on the practice squad as a fourth QB said, quote, obviously, I'd love to be on the team in any way. If that's what it is, that's what it is. So Ryan Griffin, he's sitting there saying, you want to practice squad me, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to come around and pluck him off that practice squad. But it sounded, we'll get into it more tomorrow, but it sounded like Kyle Trask looked real good on Tuesday. With that, David, we are out of here. We will be back with more Buccaneers talk for you tomorrow. Until then, you can check out everything David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com and Monday through Friday over at WTSP.com and our partnership there with 10 Tampa Bay. Love those guys. You can follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRGo_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.